Good morning. How are you? It's good to be here. You want to get started, get ahead of the curve, you can flip over to Matthew chapter 7. Hit a huge milestone, changing chapters. we're looking, and we have been for a while, we've just been looking at the example of the life of Jesus in the book of Matthew, and listening to the teaching of Jesus. And lately, there's been a lot of teaching, and that continues today. So before we read the text for today, why don't we pray, and then we will get to work. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so very good. Thank you that you speak to us when we read this book, that it is a living and powerful word. That you have promised, God, that when we read this word, that through your Spirit, that you get inside of us and that you open us up. You expose our hearts and our motives and who we really are. That's not always comfortable, God, but it is always helpful. You use it to transform us. So today, we would invite you to open us up with your word and help us become more like Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So in the text for today, we get to talk about a couple of really fun little topics, judging and hypocrisy. Those are fun things to talk about any time, especially in church. Judging and hypocrisy. They tend to be two things that, for better or worse, normally worse, rightly or wrongly, many times wrongly, but sometimes rightly, tend to be associated with us, with Christians, with church, with people of faith. If I go to church, I'm going to get what? Going to get judged by bunch of hypocrites. That's what church is. That's not always true. Many times it's not, but many times that's the perception. That's the idea. It's Christians are a bunch of people who, well, they're hypocrites. They're not who they claim to be, and they're going to judge me. And it's not necessarily a Christian thing even. It's more a human nature thing. We tend to compare ourselves to other people, and normally, we compare our good moments to their worst moment, and so we always win in that comparison, and so we feel better about ourselves because we can look down on that other person. And that's not a Christian thing, that's just a human nature thing. But judging people and hypocrisy become barriers to us being used by God to help other people come to know him, because you can't help somebody get closer to God when they feel like you're looking down on them. That's just, God can look down on me, but who are you to look down on me? I mean, come on, you're just as bad as me, probably much worse. So that you're not going to help me if you're looking down on me. And maybe if you are here today and you've been listening for a while and you're still not a Christian and you haven't made your decision, maybe the two words that we're going to talk about today maybe they're part of the reason why you haven't made your decision. Maybe you in your mind, you think of Christians as people who tend to be judgmental and hypocritical, and you say, I don't want to become that. If I get baptized, is that what I'm going to become? I don't want to be that person. Or maybe you don't want to open yourself up to being judged by other people. And if you are a Christian, if you say, yeah, I've been accused of being judgmental. I've been accused of being a hypocrite. I don't like that. How do I help people change? How do I confront sin in other people's lives without being accused of being a hypocrite or without being judgmental? How is that supposed to work? And Jesus talks about that. He talks about judging and being judgmental and hypocrisy, and he gives us a solution in the text that we're going to look at, and I think that he builds layer by layer, and at the end of it, I think the big idea of the whole thing is that instead of condemning people, we should confess and we should guide. We should confess our sin and we should guide other people instead of condemning other people. But I think we get to that as we look at the text layer by layer. So let's start in verse 1, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. Judge not that you be not judged. We like this verse. I like this verse. When you come to me and say, you need to change that, and it's always with the finger, right? You need to change that. I say, who are you to judge me? I have a verse for you. It says you're not supposed to do that. You can't tell me I'm wrong. That's being judgmental. Jesus said, you can't tell me I'm wrong, so there you go. I can do whatever I want. It's between me and God. Only God can judge me. Have you seen that, heard that phrase, seen that tattoo? That's a nice one, right? Only God can judge me. Well, yeah, he will, and it'll be horrible. That's not a good thing to lift up as a way to say, you can't judge me. What does judging mean in this context, in this verse? Because, you know, the word judging can mean different things, right? There's a couple big different things that judging can mean, and we have to ask ourselves, what is Jesus talking about in this particular verse when he says, don't judge, that you be not judged? What does he mean by the word judge? What is he saying not to do? There's two different ways you could go with that. One way is judging could mean, it does mean sometimes, saying that an action is wrong. So if I hit you, you would judge that, and I'm sure you would judge that to be a bad action, I'm guessing. And you might even judge that to be worthy of you hitting me back. So you would judge an action and say, that's a bad thing to do. If you're a parent, you make those kind of judgments all the time, right? Don't do that. You shouldn't do that. What are you doing? You're judging. You're judging actions. When the person takes your parking place at Walmart, you make a judgment. You judge that action was incorrect. That's one view of what judging is, and is that what Jesus is talking about? If it was, then he would be saying, no one can tell anybody else that they are committing a wrong action. Another view, or another meaning that judging has is saying that a person is bad, assigning value or worth to a person, and saying, you are a bad person. You've done these things, and that means you are this. You are, it's not that you gossiped, and so I'm judging what you just said and judging that was gossip and that was wrong, but rather, that's judging an action. I'm judging you. You are a gossip. I'm saying you are, and because you are a gossip, you are of less value than if you weren't a gossip. I'm judging you. I'm putting you in a box. I'm saying that you don't, well, not that you're not worth anything, but you're worth less because of what you have done. I'm judging your character. I'm condemning you. That would be another word. I'm saying you are a bad person because you do bad things, and you will always be that way. I'm condemning you. See, I think when Jesus says, do not judge or you will be judged, or do not judge so that you will not be judged, I think he's talking about the second one in this context. I think he's talking about the second kind of judgment, not the judgment call of that's a bad action, and saying, you know, you shouldn't have you know, done that. That was a bad thing to do. But rather, the kind of judgment that is condemning other people, saying, you are bad. It's the difference between telling your child, you just did something bad, and saying, you're a bad person, a bad little human being. That's the difference. It's saying you are bad, assigning value to a person. The reason I think that is because throughout the Bible, God has always asked people to tell other people that they're doing wrong things. That's something that God has always told people to do from the times of the prophets on through. Just a few examples. Think of James chapter 5 at the end, verse 19, where he says, my brothers, if any of you strays from the truth and someone brings him back, know that he who brought back the sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. How do you help someone come back who has strayed if you don't make a judgment that they have strayed? Not that they're bad, not that they are not condemning them as a person, but rather you're on a bad path. You're doing something that's bad. You're doing bad things. Think of the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Jesus says, go into all nations, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. How can you help people leave one way of life and start another way of life without telling them they need to, without saying you're on a wrong path? That's judging actions, right? Jesus tells us that's what you have to do. You have to say you're headed down a path that will take you to eternal separation from God, to hell. You need to make a decision. Then I need to help you learn to obey everything that Jesus commanded. How do you do that? You know, the other night when you got really wasted, and you used to do that before you were a Christian, right? That's wrong. That's not honoring God. That's not being filled by the Spirit. That's being controlled by alcohol. So then I'm judging an action, but I'm not saying, you're a horrible Christian, you're a bad person, don't even bother showing up on Sunday. See, that's being condemning of the person. But Jesus calls us to guide people, and in order to do that, you have to tell them that they're wrong, that their actions are wrong. Even farther down in the text, we'll see Jesus says that you're supposed to help other people leave sin. In order to do that, you have to say that thing in your life is a sin. So not to belabor the point, but I think what Jesus says when he starts out and says, do not judge that you not be judged, he's saying, don't make judgments about who people are, about their character. Don't condemn them. Don't give them value based on what they do. It's not saying that you can't say that something is wrong, that an action is wrong. It's saying don't condemn a person. Don't condemn the person. Don't give a moral opinion without redemption. That would be condemnation, and we do that. We condemn other people just by nature, not Christians. Just everybody does that. It's a human nature thing. I put people in boxes. You do the same thing. You say, that's that kind of person. This is their problem. They're always going to be that way. I expect them to be that kind of person. I evaluate the way that you act. I mean, I say I do this, but we all do it. I evaluate the way that you act based on what I see of you, and normally I look at the bad stuff in you, and then I put you in a box, and I say, that's the kind of person you are. And then I kind of just make a moral assessment of you, and I assign you value based on that, and I take away from your value as a person made in God's image because of the box that I've put you in. And on top of that, I inevitably feel superior to you because I'm not like that, at least not as bad as you. I mean, yes, I did that thing that you do, that I saw you do once, but I don't always do it. See, that's who you are. I did that once. I make a moral assessment of you, and then I feel superior to you. That's judging. That's condemning other people. It makes me feel very justified in who I am because I'm much better than you, and it makes me feel proud. And Jesus says, don't do that. Don't base the value of the people around you on what they do. Don't do that to other people. Why? Because you don't want God to judge you that way. You don't want to be judged by other people in that way. Do I want you to see me commit? Okay, you see me in a moment of weakness, and I yell at my kids, or I'm very impatient, or I tell a lie. And I don't want you to put me in a category of, well, Philip's a liar. That's just who he is. And then assign me value based on that. You know, I used to think of him like this, but now I think of him like this. And I'm condemned by you. I don't want to be judged like that. Jesus is saying it's a golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Don't condemn people's character and assign them value based on what they do and put them in boxes. And then he goes on in verse 2 to say, it doesn't make any sense to do that. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Jesus is saying the grace that we give other people is related to the grace that we get from God. The judgment that we give to others, the way we condemn other people, is related to the way God will judge us. That's a harsh thing to think about. If I extend grace to you, that has something to do with me receiving grace from God. If I'm harsh with you, that has something to do with God being harsh with me. And here's the thing, we all need grace. Because we are all bad. We all do bad things. We all deserve God's wrath. We all need salvation. We all depend on God's grace. And so we should all give grace to other people because we've received grace from God and because we need to receive grace from God. I think what this is getting at is we should see other people, instead of assigning other people value based on what they do, judging them, condemning them, we should see people the way God sees them. How does God see people? Well, it starts out very positive. We're created in God's image. So inside all of us, there is good, because we're made in the image of the Almighty God. We're made to reflect Him. That's why even in the worst person that you know, there's still like a little sparkle of good that comes out sometimes. You're like, where does that come out? Because I have them in this bad category. Where does that come from? They're made in God's image to reflect God's glory. But we have all rebelled against God. We've all equally rebelled against God. So we're all good, but we're all bad. We all rebel against God. And so just because I see your rebellion against God, I can't put you in a worse than me category, because I've rebelled against God. And then another part of how God sees us is we can all be redeemed by Christ. See, when Jesus says, because with the judgment that you judge, you will be judged, with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you, isn't that hinting at the whole idea of we all need to be redeemed? I need grace just as much as you need grace. I can become in Christ through the cross. I can become God's child, and so can you. And so it doesn't matter what I've seen you do and the category that I put you in, and I assign you this moral value and I think less of you and I'm condemning you, but you could be redeemed by Christ in the same way that I can be redeemed by Christ. I can become God's child, and so can you. And so what should we do if that's how we are? Well, we should confess. We should confess our sins. We should help other people change, because no one is condemned to remain as they are. That's how God sees us. Look at verse 3 now. One of the reasons that we judge and we condemn other people is because we don't see our own wickedness. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? See, we don't. The reason it's so easy for me to look at what you do and put you in a category and judge you and write you off and say, well, that's just the way that person is, and it is because I see what you do so easily, but it's really hard for me to see the bad that I do. I don't see it. No matter how big my sin is, the log that's in my eye, it's like he uses this over-exaggerated metaphor that you have this huge thing that you, and it's in your eye, so you can't even, but you're not even seeing it. We're blind to our sin, our own sin. I see yours so well, but seeing my own, I don't see it as well. And in the moments when I do kind of see it, I try to hide it away so that you don't see it. Because it's like, if you don't see my badness, if I can somehow make other people not see it, then it really doesn't count. It's not really real. And then when I do see it and I come face to face with, yeah, there is like a shadow of something that I'm seeing in me, it's not that big of a deal. I don't judge myself. I don't condemn myself. I don't say I'm a horrible, horrible liar and I deserve hell and I will never change and I'm a bad person. No, I justify it. I lied to you, but I had to. I mean, if I would have told you the truth, it would have hurt you. It would have made you feel bad. I justify my sin. I don't judge myself and condemn myself for my sin. We'd never see our sin for as big as it is, our own sin. And because of that, it's really hard for us to help other people, because I can't help you when I'm not conscious of my own badness. I can't help you when I don't see the fact and recognize the fact that we're all rebellious people who have rebelled against God. Me, just as much as you. And when I don't see that, or when it's just like a theory, when I don't see how my rebellion actually is working itself out in my life today, I can't help you. I can't help you. I can't, if I'm not, that's the root of hypocrisy. And I feel justified in judging you, because I see you as being much worse than me, because I'm not seeing my wickedness, and it turns into pride, and my pride blocks me from helping you, because you're not going to accept my help when you know that I feel superior to you, and I'm not going to give you good advice when I just see that as your problem and your weakness, and you just need to, at the base of it, you just need to get over it. If you could only be like as good as I am, it would all work out much better for you. I can't give you practical steps to move away from your sin when I'm not taking practical steps to move away from my sin, because I really don't even see my sin in my life today. And so Jesus says what? we should start the process by confessing our own sin, not just not condemning other people, but looking in the mirror and confessing our own sin. Look at verse 5. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. There's a couple of things there. Sometimes we focus on one and miss the other. Let's look at both of them. But starting in the way Jesus said, what did he say? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. We have to confront and see and recognize and own and battle against our own sin. What did Jesus say? First. That's the first step to ever helping other people. It's not just not condemning other people. It's looking in the mirror and me seeing my sin, my character flaws. I like that word better than my disobedience to God. The things that are wrong in my life today, my impatience, my bullheadedness, my persistence and my stubbornness, the things that are bad about me today, I have to recognize that, but we don't like to do that because that means we have to confess, and I don't like to confess. I don't like to confess because I don't feel good about myself when I'm truly looking at how bad I am today and how bad I have been this week. I like to forget about the bad moments and think about the times I was good. But we have to confess and repent first, Jesus says. We have to confess and recognize before God, I have this thing. You could call it a log in my eye that I've not even seen, and I see it. The Holy Spirit has made me see this sin in me, and I'm recognizing it. Confessing isn't like telling God something that he doesn't know, because he sees our sin. It's recognizing what he already knows. It's saying, God, I recognize, I accept that this is wrong. And I see through your word and through your spirit that this is not right in me. And this is how I am, and I shouldn't be that way. And then it's confessing to other people, to other brothers and sisters. And then it's fighting. We take the log out of our own eye by taking practical steps and moving away from our sin. And then what is he saying? And it's not just about your sin, not condemning people and then you confessing your sin. We're supposed to guide other people. We're supposed to help other people change. If you read the Don't Judge and you said, well, I'm not supposed to help anybody change, that's not what he's saying. Because look where he ends up. He ends up by saying, look at yourself first, confess and fight against your own sin, and then be a person who helps other people get closer to God. Help guide other people. Help other people move closer to the Father. Be the kind of person who helps your brother as well. Be the kind of person who tells your brother without putting them in a box and without saying you're always going to be this way and you're a bad person because you do this, but be a person who speaks the truth and love to your brothers and sisters, who tells people that you have a relationship with, you should turn away from this sin. It's destroying your life. It's destroying your marriage. It's destroying your body. It's destroying your relationships. Whatever the case may be, it's sin and you should turn away from it. We do that by naming the sin. It's not like that was a bad thing you did. That was a lie that you just told. There's power in naming the actual sin and saying that was this sin. And then showing them, say speaking the truth in love and saying you should turn to Jesus. You should turn from your sin and turn to the Savior. It's what we tell people who still aren't Christians. It's what we tell those of us who are Christians. It is a continual repentance of turn from that sin and turn back to the Savior. You should stop doing that. And here are some ways that you can leave that sin behind. Stop hanging out with those friends that you always get drunk with on Friday nights, because you know how that's going to end up. One example, but you know, you can apply it. Just practical examples. We should be people who help other people practically move away from their sin. And then Jesus ends in verse 6 with a bit of kind of a warning, a little caveat, maybe it would be like a little footnote, a little asterisk, and he ends with this and by way of warning, and he's going to tell us this whole thing about, okay, you can be the most non-judging person in the world, you can be the person who doesn't condemn other people, doesn't think bad of other people because you know we're all sinners and I'm just as rebellious of you and I'm not going to think badly of you and I'm confessing my sin and I'm fighting against my own sin and I want to help you move away from your sin. And even so, that's not going to be for everybody. Not everybody's going to accept what you say. Look at verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs. lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Say, not everybody's going to accept when you lovingly try to help them move away from sin and move towards the Savior. Everyone will not everyone will accept your guidance. That's why we don't try to change everybody. We don't try to guide everybody. That's why I think before he says, you can help your brother take the speck out of his eye. There's an emphasis on brother. It's if we have a family relationship, in this case, if we're in Christ, if you have pledged allegiance to the same Savior to whom I have pledged allegiance, we both have repented and been baptized and given our hearts to the Lord, then we're family. And as family, we should help each other. We should say, you're sinning. That was a lie that you told. We should help each other move away from sin. But we don't run around. We're not the moral police of Lincoln. We don't run around saying, don't talk about it in front of me like that. You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't. No, with people who aren't Christians who are seeking, we should help them turn to the Savior. We should speak the truth in love. Not say, clean up these little things in your life, but rather repent of being your own boss and turn to Jesus. And then after that, His Spirit and through the family will help you change other things. But not everybody will accept that kind of guidance. So we don't try to change people by force. We know that it's the Holy Spirit who changes us. So we don't push people and we don't insist, even within the Christian family. We don't insist, we don't push people. We say what the Spirit gives us to say, and then we trust that He will change their hearts. We don't force the situation, and we don't force people. We go through doors that God opens. We speak when the Spirit tells us to speak. We're silent when He tells us to be silent. And when people reject us and say, no, you're judging me. You can't tell me I'm wrong. You can't tell me to change. I'm not wrong. You're wrong. Then we leave it and we pray for that person that God would change them, because not everyone will accept being guided. So, take all that, package it up. What should we do? We should guide both ourselves and other people instead of condemning. That's what Jesus calls us to. He's not just saying don't do something. More than that, He's saying do something. Don't condemn, but guide. Guide yourself to turn away from your own sin, and guide other people to turn away from their sin. With something that practical, the different steps that you and I might be led to take are different for everyone. So let me give some ideas of what we might be led to do as a result of this, how to apply this practically in our lives. And some of us, it'll land on different ways in our lives. For some of us, we need to confess and repent, probably for all of us. Maybe for you, you're a Christian and you need to just think about it for a minute and say, what is my sin, my persistent sin that I have in my life that I'm not seeing? And if you ask that, the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin and He will show you what that sin is that you should be confessing and fighting against, the log that you should be taking out of your eye. Maybe you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus. And maybe for you, confessing and repenting is confessing that you've been the boss of your own life up until now, and is confessing Jesus as Lord, and is repenting and turning to Him and being baptized and giving your heart to the Savior. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone and we'll walk you through that, and you can do that. Maybe for you, the application has to do with not judging, not condemning other people. Maybe there's some people that you could think about that you think poorly of them as people because of what they've done. And maybe you need to repent of that sin and stop thinking of them as being any worse than anyone else who has rebelled against God. Maybe there's somebody that, as we've talked today, that you think, I need to guide that person by speaking the truth in love. I've kind of condemned them. I've thought bad about them. I've talked about their sin to other people. I've never talked to them about their sin. I've never gone to my brother or sister and said, there's this thing in your life. There's that speck in your eye. There's this thing. I think it's sin. Here's a verse. Could I help you walk away from that? Without insisting, without pushing. Who would you need to guide? What sin do you need to repent of? What do you need to do to put this into practice? Why don't we stand? We'll sing together. We'll pray, and then we'll sing together. God, we come to You and we thank You because You're good. Thank You, God, because You are a God who perfectly embodies grace and truth. and you confront us with our sin, you confront us with our rebellion, and no one escapes from that judgment. No one can escape with a clean slate. We have all rebelled against you, and at the same time, you offer us perfect, beautiful grace in the cross through Jesus. You offer to make us your children. You offer to pour your love over us and take your wrath away from us, and to not treat us the way we deserve to be treated because of what we've done. So God, would you make us a people who don't treat others the way they might deserve to be treated because of what they have done? Would you make us a people who don't condemn other people, who don't put people in boxes and assign them value and devalue them as people because of their actions? But rather, God, would you help us be a people who confess our own sins, who are always fighting against the sin in our lives to be more like Jesus, and make us a people, God, who help each other and help people who are on the outside to take steps towards you, to becoming more like Jesus, to turn from our sin and turn to the Savior. Thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.